want to acknowledge that today's episode was recorded on both Treaty 7 and Treaty 8 land. The Alberta Teachers Association respectfully acknowledges that we are located on Treaty 4, 6, 7, 8, and 10 territories, the traveling route, gathering places, and meeting grounds for Indigenous peoples whose histories, languages, cultures, and traditions continue to influence our vibrant communities. We are grateful for the traditional knowledge keepers and elders who are still here with us today and those that have gone before us. We recognize the land as an act of reconciliation and gratitude to those whose territory we reside on or are visiting. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the very first episode of Inclusive Chronicles, Tips and Tricks for Inclusion in Alberta. My name is Arlene Foley, and I am the current president of the Council for Inclusive Education, which is an ATA specialist council. And I am also a half-time learning support teacher, half-time vice principal for the Grand Prairie Public School Division. And so we're here today to kind of give you an overview of who we are and what we want to do for you, our members. So I'm going to pass it on over to Kelsey, and she'll introduce herself, and then we'll go from there.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kelsey. I am the communications officer for the CIE, but I am also a full-time learning support specialist with Rocky View Schools in Airdrie, Chestermere areas of Alberta. So welcome, everybody. I'm going to pass it off to Hannah.
Oh, thank you. I'm Hannah Jenkins. I am a full-time grade 8 generalist in Grand Prairie, Alberta. When I'm not teaching the craziness that is junior high, I am the webmaster for the Council of Inclusive Ed, dealing with all of the online and technical needs that you all have. So welcome.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So just a little bit about who we are as a specialist council. We do have a mission, and that is to provide our members with increased knowledge and understanding of students with diverse needs through communication. And our big thing is professional development. So here we are. And the purpose today is kind of to just introduce us. And really, we're really excited to get feedback from our members to see what exactly you would like from us. This is meant to be a quick, 30 minutes or so. You can listen to our podcast on the way to work or watching your kid's sports game, because the idea here is that, like, we're all super busy. We all have full-time jobs, families, friends, and things of that nature. So that's kind of where we're at.
Do we want to talk about the survey that we do have and say that it is 3 years old, that we want to, like, from that survey, these were the results. They were 3 years old. So what topics are still super relevant? What do you guys want more of?
Right. It's like, we all know the trends in Alberta. Like, 3 years is old. That is old.
3 years is old.
That is old news.
I think, too, like, we also are working with standards of special education that are really, really old.
2007.
So I actually am in the process of figuring out who at Alberta Education that we can get come to our meetings, so that we can ask them some questions around what is going on. Last time we had them involved was a few years, maybe even like 2 years before COVID. It's always such a blur with COVID, don't you guys find? Like last year. And then I'm like, oh, wait, no, it was actually before COVID, because I lost a couple years of my life.
The new BCE, like there's pre-COVID and post-COVID.
Right. And it's like this time warp that
2024
I've been stuck in.
Post-COVID.
Pretty much. So, okay, yeah.
So I just pulled up the standards. The standards are 20 years old. They're from 2004.
Wow. 2004, right. So when I reached out to see what's that process for us as a council, of how, because we do represent the ATA, of how we follow that process to get somebody at the table again for our meeting so we can ask them some of those questions. So the last thing that they were telling us back before COVID was that they were in the process of being updated. So we now know that that is how many years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many years was COVID? Like 3 years ago now?
It started in 2020.
Yeah. So that was at least 4 years ago that they told us that they were updating them. Yeah. A lot has changed in inclusive education in 20 years. For one thing, our council used to be called the Special Education Council. And it was strictly about just about students with special education needs, but that's not where we're at anymore with inclusion. And so as a council, we're not just talking about children with identified special education codes.
No, not at all.
We're talking about a wide variety of diverse learners that we have. Like, we're really diverse. The three of us, we have many other members on the council. So that's another thing that we can bring, right? Is that we have varying experiences. We're really wide range in ages.
Oh, too. Yeah. Like,
Hannah, I think you're the baby. Aren't you the baby of the council?
Oh, man. I would be the baby for sure.
I think you are. And then, you know, we have retired. We have a retired teacher who is also on our council who used to be a behavior specialist and was involved in the boats, creation of boats and things like that.
Oh, so wow.
We really do represent a wide variety of people, and that's what we're all about, meeting the diverse needs, not just special education needs. So I just think it's important for us to highlight that.
No, we have a beautiful range of experiences, and that's what you want. That's what you want when you're trying to make big decisions, you know?
Really like that we are geographically spread out across the province.
Good point. Mm-hmm. Good point.
I think about our council. We have people from down south in Calgary, central Alberta in Red Deer, and then Grand Prairie, Fort McMurray, Edmonton area. So we have this beautiful range of geographical spread, but also rural versus urban.
Because
there's
very much
big differences, I think, in how things are done across rural and urban because of how resources can be pulled differently in different
areas. You know, one of the things that's come up lots in our just informal conversations as a council is like the one thing is the shortage of people, though. Like it was interesting for me because I've always worked in the north. We've always struggled with EAs and teachers and having enough of that. But it was interesting for me to hear over the last couple of years that also in the more urban centers, they're also having difficulty with that. So we totally get the challenges that everybody's having right now. But part of, I think, part of our direction or what we hope to do is not to focus solely on the negative things in this podcast. We want it to be a place where you can come and get some down and dirty suggestions and background, and then always to provide that we will provide ourselves open to, if you have specific questions, we'll always, you know, link our email addresses, or we're always seeking feedback online if you want something that you feel like needs to be discussed from your perspective. If we don't do it on a podcast, we can certainly liaison with you via email or things like that as well. And so that being said, we did have a survey, but it's like 3 years old, and we want to honor that feedback. And that's kind of like where we're starting in this podcast with topics. But we're also going to be looking at getting feedback from you on what you really want, because 3 years is kind of long.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And it's changed lots in those 3 years. We've had in and out of classrooms. We've had school closures. We've had the increase of online learning opportunities in Alberta. So like where we're coming from 3 years ago has really diversified as well in experiences compared to where we are now.
And like, just think about when you first started teaching. So like for me, it's been like 16, 17 years. What about you, Kelsey?
16, 17-ish.
And then Hannah?
I'm going to drink my coffee. Well, like, no,
when I first started teaching, from there to where we are now, is so vastly different. And the expectations are different. And the classroom complexities are very different than when I started. And so this has been a journey as well for us. And I think of like our new teachers coming in to education. So if you are a teacher, you know, that has some skills, I really do believe in mentoring. And I believe in not having the door closed and, you know, opening yourself, because they're stepping into something that we didn't have to step into.
It's
been a slow progression for us. You know what I mean? So although it's overwhelming at times, it's not like I don't even know what jumping in right now would look like and how I would handle that.
Well, and being the baby on the council, I can empathize a little bit with new teachers coming in, and even in just my 7 to 8 years now, it's different from when I started. Yeah. And so I'm currently mentoring a first-year teacher. I have a protege, and the environment that they're coming into is different, but they do bring this like beautiful, fresh-eyed experience that's super valid. And awesome, but it's so different.
Even you, for me, being the baby, like there are like ideas and things that you think of that I don't necessarily think of anymore. And so
thank you.
And then like Kelsey, with our online social media, like we've gotten so much more engagement. Like you're more techie than me. Like that's not my forte. I'm the talker. I'm the talker of the group, as people can tell already from the podcast. But just like the different skills that we all have, and when we do come together, we can just do so much more because we have all of that experience, all of that passion for inclusive education. And, you know, it's at our core beliefs. Everyone on the council, all of our executive on the council and our staff officer and our DR, like everybody is just like super passionate about inclusive education. And so that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. That's why we volunteer our Saturdays and Sundays.
You know? Maybe it's a good time to share like some of those whys.
Yeah.
A few whys from a few of our council members that have come out. And so one of our council members who is new is our secretary. She is joining us from Fort McMurray. And she says one of her reasons in believing in the why is she kind of sees us as the last line of defense for children and families, just in a supportive way to get kids what they need to be successful. So that's our secretary. Maybe somebody else wants to share their why, and we can jump back and forth from what I have from other people.
Sure. I feel like I have to explain this why. I have to explain my big water bottle since I just drank from it on the screen. You will always see me trying to stay super hydrated. However, it does pose a problem sometimes when you're super busy and you have to find time to go to the bathroom. But I just took a big chug on camera, so I figure people were probably like, what is that, girl? Hannah, you want to go ahead maybe and share somebody else's?
Sure. Or they were incredibly impressed because on top of everything else we do in this world, staying hydrated is also super important.
Yeah. Take care of you first. Right?
And then
put your mask on first, is so they say, right?
I can share maybe my why a little bit. It bridges off of Ari's quite nicely. That last line of defense is that every kid and every family needs a champion, you know. Somebody to believe in them. Like maybe they can't do math. They struggle to stay awake. They struggle with regulation. They're angry or they're upset or reading is difficult. They should have somebody advocate for them and be their champion and go, no, actually, with the right supports in the right environment, yes, they can. And families too. like, yes, you can. You can do this.
Like,
oh, thank you.
Like, you know what I mean? I'm just, when I hear people's why, it like really resonates with me, although it might be a bit different than mine, you know?
Yeah, it's that passion is there, and it's so evident, especially reading everybody's counsel's testimonials on their why. It's just like, yeah, folks, yeah. That's it. Inclusion, that's it. That's the whole reason we're here.
Yeah, a few years ago, we had the opportunity to work with Dr. Joni Turnbull from the ATA, and we did strategic planning. So we got together and talked about what's our mission, what's our why. It was so amazing to go through that process and really like refine, and super powerful to have the time and the space to like sit and actually reflect on the why. And so, it was very, very impactful. So like a challenge, I guess, that I would have for anybody listening is like really sit down and reflect on like your why. And when we try and focus on the positives and the reasons why we're doing what we're doing, it tends to change our perspective a little bit. I know right now in Alberta, it's not the greatest outlook, but there's still things that we can focus on to make sure that we're still showing up for kids and we're still showing up for each other. You know, like I talked about the mentor thing and things like that. Like there is still hope. We had teacher convention here and I did a session where they just really talked about like, there's still light out there. There's still hope. It was actually Chris Gonzalez. I don't know if I said his last name right, but, who is also an ATA staff officer. I think he's staff officer. So it was really impactful for me at that time because we do tend to get focused on the negative, you know, like, oh, we don't have enough resources. We don't have enough time. But there's still hope out there and we have to be that for our students and our fellow teachers. And some of the work that we do impacts that. So I'm proud of that. I'm proud to be a part of this council.
Same. It's like, that's all I got. I'm like, yeah, girl, same.
Yeah.
Why for inclusion and joining this council was related to my own experience as a kid. I have a learning disability. I have ADHD. I have anxiety. I have all the letters and codes and whatever behind my name. But I was able to persevere through trickies in schools. I went to school in the 90s in Alberta, which presented some interesting stuff at that time. And so it was hard. School was hard. And I was the kid that would rather look bad than to look dumb. So I did and chose different things. But my kids are also both neurodiverse. And for me, I want to provide support to educators so that they can make school more welcoming and inclusive for learners like me, or learners like my kids. And so for me, that's my big why. It's my why of coming to be part of this council, to be part of the professional development that can be provided across the province, because inclusion is a switch in how we do things. It's not necessarily more work. It's different work than we did 20 years ago when our standards for special education were created. But it's different work. It is truly very different work than what it was. But
yeah,
it's hard to switch your mindset and figure out how to do things differently when you've always been doing something this way. And so it can be hard to have that out of the box thinking.
It's also hard for people, I think, to admit that the way that they're doing things isn't actually working, you know, and I will say that like going through process in my own experience with switching, you know, that way of thinking and looking at responsive planning and things like that is that uh, it is it is more work in the beginning when you're trying to like, it is, but the long-term benefits and the benefits for your students are really, really, really amazing. And so, yeah, it does take a bit of work in the beginning, but, you know, it will reap the benefits. So that being said, where are we going with this podcast? What is our next little snippet for you? I'm going to let Kelsey actually explain that, because Kelsey will be hosting the next podcast with some peeps from her division. Go ahead, Kelsey, tell our listeners.
So kind of our next area is really thinking about environmental design, classroom design. Sometimes there are trickies. Some of our high schools here in Southern Alberta are really, really full. And so classroom teachers are constantly moving from classroom to classroom, or the classroom is being used four blocks out of four, and so multiple teachers are using the same spaces, which can be really
challenging.
That is very challenging.
But how can we think outside of the box in environmental design, knowing that multiple teachers and hundreds of students use the same learning environments day in and day out? And so how can we think outside of the box to provide the environmental design that our kids need and us as humans, as adults, need to be successful? And so we're really going to look at some of those universal foundational things that we can think through. You're not going to change everything the next day after listening to a podcast or going to a professional development session. But what are some, I wonder if I could switch this little thing.
Yeah.
Different.
You know, and I think that that's what holds people back, is that they'll often go to this PD and all these really great suggestions are offered. And then it's like, yeah. And then, yeah, like that's way too overwhelming for me. I need a small thing. And starting with the, you know, universal design of your classroom, I've heard it called environmental scan and things like that before, is like, that is like the first layer that you can do, is like, make sure that the environment is set up in such a way that people can learn. So I love that that's where you're starting with that. And I think you have been working with an OT maybe in your division who's supported that.
We have a number of OTs that have really come together and worked collaboratively with me as a learning support specialist, but also with classroom teachers. So we've gone out and supported classroom teachers together. And we ask I wonder questions, and we look at self-reflections through a scan or that type of thing. Because I never want to say thou must do it this way, because it might work for me that way.
Yeah. It
might not work for you that way. So what would work for you? What's a one thing that we can take a little step with, and then we can reflect on how it's going and come back and try something different?
I love that.
So Hannah, go ahead.
No, I was just like taking a minute to plug the podcast. It's like, I love that, you know, you do attend those PDs, and it can be overwhelming. And that's what our monthly podcast is taking those tips or tricks, those things that we send out, and making it more accessible even to people in our, you know, who we serve, anybody who's subscribed to our council. I love it.
And another point on that is, like, I believe that not always do people have access to OTs. So if this is work that you guys have done as a division that you can share with other people who might not have that, my question would be, or I guess first I would say, we've done in the past in our division like an environmental scan. And so we had teachers pair up with, like, you know, somebody who you trust, and like, you know, and then you did the environmental scan on each other's classrooms and then talked about that. And there was a checklist of things to go through. Just wondering if you have something like that you would be sharing as well, Kelsey, with her members?
So we do. So in our latest tips and tricks in the newsletter that went out at the beginning of March, one of the amazing OTs at Rocky View Schools, Holly Robson, gave us the permission to share one of her environmental scans that she does with kids, and she actually involves students. So she has that, and we have a few other tools. So absolutely, there will be some tools that will be there that we can talk about and go through in more depth, because I don't want to spoil all the things.
Like a little sneak peek.
For next time. Cool. There will be tools that people can take, whether you have that person, to Arlene's point, that you feel comfortable in your building doing a swap with an environmental scan, or some I wonder questions, some a self-reflection for yourself to go through and really think about that, or engaging your students. So we have some amazing occupational therapists that are very passionate about this type of work. So I'm sure they will share, and then it will continue to move forward that way.
Excellent. Well, I think that's kind of it. We just kind of wanted to pop on quickly and give you a little overview of who we are and what we do and what we would hope to do. And between Kelsey and Hannah, they're very good at like that member engagement and getting the information out. So I'm sure there'll be opportunities for our listeners to say, hey, I'm really struggling here, or have you thought about offering something on this? And we're flexible and we're responsive. We talk about responsive planning. We're responsive to our members' needs. Like we are here to provide you with support. And like I said, we are very diverse and have a lot of experience, but we're also wanting to and being open to bringing in other professionals, because I'm not the end all be all. I don't know it all. I never, ever think that way. I think that we are more rich when we have different voices at the table. But isn't that all what inclusion is all about? So everybody has value. And so, yeah, we even had like a couple people who said, hey, I would love to be a part of your podcast. They've reached out in different social media platforms that we have. So if you don't follow us on social media, definitely do that. And you'll see more of us over the coming months. Anything to add, ladies, before we head off here on our Sunday morning after the time change? We scrambled a little bit this morning. We're like, what are we meeting at 10? Is it like actual 10, or is it like time change 10? You know,
that is the most realistic thing I've heard in a long while. Like
everybody we does all that. Do it. They're like, yeah, but it's actually only, you know,
but it's actually I did it this morning.
Do that to myself. I always say that when it's time change time. So anyways, that is it for me.
Well, we're looking forward to spending more time with you guys through a podcast medium. And yes.
And give us some feedback. This is our first time. So
feedback is good.
Send us a message, social media. Hannah's got stuff on our website for people to
let us know you're there.
Yeah. We will see you again soon.
Bye, everybody.
As an organization that promotes and is committed to respecting human rights and ensuring a safe, secure, and healthy environment for all, the Alberta Teachers Association, ATA, works to ensure that all present at or participating in ATA programs and events are protected from violence and harassment. All ATA members are therefore expected to promote and defend the fundamental human rights of everyone engaged in ATA programs, activities, or other ATA work. ATA members are expected to treat one another with fairness, respect, dignity, and to uphold the highest standards of professionalism, accountability, competence, and integrity as representatives of the provincial association, as well as their respective locals and subgroups. Furthermore, ATA members are obligated to act to prevent violence and harassment wherever possible and to report to the appropriate person in authority and suspected breaches of this statement that come to their attention.